As we pick up our story in Matthew and we're following along, it's kind of hard to believe all the things we've been talking about, the different encounters with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers and the whoever's and the Herodians and all the folks that he's been having to deal with since he's gotten into Jerusalem, the cleaning out the temple. All this happens like on Monday, Tuesday. This is like we're still in the middle of Tuesday, I think, when Jesus now turns his attention away from the scribes and the Pharisees, and he starts teaching to the crowds and the disciples. And this begins this last major speech found in Matthew, and Jesus has a lot to say about how we should conduct ourselves. Not only what we shouldn't be doing, but also in our takeaway for today, I think it's important to think about not only what Jesus warns against, but also what he points to in verses 11 and 12. And I want to start this message today. I want us to think about this old thing I used to hear from my parents. I used to hear this a lot. It says, "Do as I say, not as I do." Right? Did y'all remember that? Your parents tell you that? Maybe it was your grandparents for you listening online or scoring at home. I know that you might have a younger base there, and some of you may not have heard that. But my grandmother used to tell me that. My mother used to, anybody who was older than me. I was the youngest in my family. I've already told you that many times. But I was always told this by just about everybody, do as I say, not as I do. And I had no idea at the time I heard that this was actually based on Scripture, right? Based on Scripture, right? A little bit what Jesus says, do what they say, but then not follow what they do. So it's kind of loosely based on Scripture, I guess. But that was the kind of Jesus was trying to tell the disciples and the crowds, right? Us, the crowds, right? He reminds them that the scribes and the Pharisees, they know their stuff when it comes to Mosaic law. They know what they're talking about. They do not do it any injustice because they speak it truthfully. The problem is they didn't live it, right? They didn't line up their life with that, what they were willing to say everybody else should be doing. It didn't necessarily apply to themselves. And that was this thing where another thought came to my mind when I started thinking about that, right? They didn't always live what they taught. So I remember I used to hear this from my grandparents a lot, or my grandmother maybe, practice what you preach. And that goes a long way. And you know, right? But because here's the thing, either one that you heard, right? Either if you heard do as I say, not as I do from your parents or your grandparents, or somebody was saying practice what you preach, meaning look at yourself first, right? Before you start pointing the finger at others. It doesn't usually feel good to be on the receiving end of either of those quotes, right? Those things that we used to be told as we were growing up. And maybe you still hear it. If you're like me, you probably do still hear it from time to time. But anyway, this is what it means. You know, it's usually what they're trying to imply is we're kind of getting into an area where we're over our heads, right? Above our pay grade. We're not able to really make those decisions with regard to what we are doing and how we should be doing it. When we're busy pointing the finger at other people about what they are doing or not doing. And so this is what, we kind of get reminded of here in this little bit of opening scripture, these warnings against living like the scribes and the Pharisees, and then what we should be doing, right? And if you or me or we are probably all were like that in some point in our life, having trouble hearing these phrases, the hardest thing to get over is not that we were getting in over our heads, right? I think my grandmother used to also call it too big for your britches, right? You're getting too big for your britches. And that might be because I was trying to live, like I was an older one of my siblings, but the reality is I was also eating a lot of food, so that she might have meant that physically, you're getting too big for your britches. I don't know, but literally I'd hear that a lot too. But we like to think that at some point we get past that, right? When we get into adulthood, that, now I am big enough for my britches, or my britches and I are in the same size range, and we should all be living as I want to live, right? I can now do what I want to do. I hear this a lot, I say this a lot lately, especially this year, now that I'm turned 50, I think that meant something. And I would say, well, I'm 50, I can pretty much do whatever I want to do. And then that's usually followed up by stepping into a pile of mess of stuff that I now have to clean off myself, right? Because I do something exactly dumb in that next sentence or that next moment of my life where I think that I have reached this pinnacle, that now I am somehow exempt from consequence or whatever it may be that comes with this thought of, well, I'm 50, I can now live as I choose to live. Because what I really want to do and how I really want to live doesn't always line up with what I do doesn't always line up with how I really want to live. And that's just because I, as an adult, I still haven't figured out what it means necessarily to practice what I preach, I think, in some occasions. And I think we all struggle with that from time to time, right? And we should just, with that thought, I want us to look a little closer about what Jesus is warning us against, really, about living like those scribes and Pharisees. In this points that he's making, there's some very common practice that he points to, and you would think that that these would normally be good for a person to try, right? The phylacteries, if you don't know, I didn't know myself, the example here is that they're intended to be a way of literally keeping the scripture close to our hearts and minds. And they're these little boxes, usually made out of leather, and they would write scripture verses on there or passages and put them in the box. And during their prayer times, they would wear them on their head and on their arms, so that when they crossed their arms, the scriptures were close to their hearts and, you know, literally on their minds when it's planted right here on your forehead. And generally thinking that it's a physical way of reminding ourselves, you know, about the Word of God and being focused on that. And so you'd think that that's a good idea, right? And then the thing about the fringes, right? The fringes, I think, related to, they were worn off of the four corners of the of their outer garment, and it was a reminder reminders of their covenantal obligations. So, both very practical reminders, but what Jesus warns us against is doing these things with this look at me attitude. This well, look what I'm doing kind of thing, right? Well, look, did you see how big my phylactery is? And, well, obviously yours isn't embossed in gold, so you don't really take it to heart. And, you know, it kind of became about doing it for appearances. And that's where they kind of get lost in their way of trying to be focused on God and trying to be having that attitude that talks about that. But this problem we have is very similar to them. As we go through our lives too, we can get that attitude, right, of this, look at me, look at what all I'm doing, right? Because inevitably, I don't care, well, I do care, but I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, we all kind of want to be recognized when we do something good, right? It feels good to get a pat on the back. It feels good to be recognized for some accomplishment. And we like that. It's not a big deal. So we are subject to the same ego, building up of oneself's ego, right? If we're not careful. And if you think I may be off point here, but I don't think so, because I think you could still search on YouTube pretty easily about failure videos. I think you could put an epic fail and like you'll get hours of video clips of where people fall on their rear ends, like I did yesterday, trying to move a vanity I probably should have just asked for help to do, but I got this, and I didn't, and I fell down. So, I was humbled very quickly on my trek from the back to the front of the house, dragging this old vanity that obviously was way too heavy for my small self. I just didn't have the strength to do it, but I thought I could. But these are things that where we talk about these failures that we have, this is where we're getting sideways with God, right? Where we're not lined up with what God has intended for us. We're not focusing on God's words, the scriptures, the things that God teaches us through Christ. All of the relational and relationship things that we are obligated to when we become a part of the body of Christ. Right? We get... our focus maybe gets on ourselves a little bit, right? Maybe what we've done or what we've accomplished or how much money we make or what position we have at the office or in the company or whatever the case may be. None of these things in and of themselves is a bad thing, right? It's not that to be successful is not inherently wrong. But the problem is when we put too much reliance on that and it's really just in the end a very temporary thing. It may last our whole lifetime, but in the blink of a thousand years, that it really means nothing, right? It doesn't really speak to the legacy of who we are and the legacy of the people who came before us on this All Saints Sunday, as Kim discussed in the children's message, the thought of those that came before us and what they've imparted upon us. And I've talked about grandmas and parents and things in my message today about these sayings that they gave me. And yet here I go and I run off down the road of life at 50. I say, I can do whatever I want to do. And the reality is, no, you really can't. You still have obligation to who God is and who God wants you to be. And if that's the case, then you can do exactly what God wants you to do, right? That's what my goal should be, not what I want, but what God wants. And so my emphasis gets off, and I get into one of those failure moments. Last week, we ended our message. We were thinking about how God, how we can love God, right? God loves, love God with all your strength, your heart, your mind. We were talking about love God, love God, love God, and then love neighbor. And that was the kind of the thing we were talking about. And if we do that right, if we can be that example, then others too would learn how to love God and do the same and love neighbor. And that would just keep spreading. And then we had the wonderful closing hymn of Pass It On. And boy, it was just a real great moment, I thought. But, here's the thing. I hope you guys did a lot better job with your homework of loving God and loving others than I did this past week, because I didn't do a very good job in all aspects of what that called to, what I was called to do. And so this reminding myself of practicing what I preach, I'm just thankful that the person that brought me back down to earth was somebody who truly cared about me. And they were honestly sharing their love for God and love of others when they said, hey, dude, you're really high on yourself right now. You better park it. And it does help to get brought back down to earth once in a while, to be reminded that as far as we may think we've become, the blessing of being a pastor here at this church and that this charge also comes with responsibilities and obligations. But this wonderful thing of that is I'm really doubly blessed, because not only am I able to be here and deliver messages and share my love for God with you every week, but then I'm also a client and reminding myself that I too still need to hear those messages, right? I still need to read these scriptures and understand how these can change me as well. And that's this wonderful thing that Jesus reminds the crowds and his disciples to, hey, the scriptures aren't wrong, right? The words are not wrong. It's how we live them that becomes wrong, right? It's how we mess that up, meaning the Pharisees and the scribes. And God calls us, or Jesus calls us, to do something different, right? In closing, Jesus calls us to again, he lifts up that role of servant. And if we're going to minister to one another, if we're going to be a minister, that's what that really means. It translates to servant, right? It's the same thing. And if we're going to minister to these local communities, we need to approach it in a way of servanthood. Because the servant, right, they put the needs of others before their own. That's what the servant does. And Jesus recognizes this, and he lifts that up. Jesus exalts that role of servanthood. So that's what we should be striving for, right? Because we, in the end, we want to be exalted. We surely don't like to be humbled. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we come to our time of pastoral prayer, and